Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
A week to give thanks and to hate thy neighbor.
I could care less about one player, and I could care less about a team that we face. Beaver football is changing.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on Civil War Week.
Brought to you by A-Lin-A. Come celebrate with A-Lin-A and watch one of the nation's oldest college rivalries, Oregon's Civil War, at A-Lin-A's Rose and Thorn this Saturday.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
Whew, that was crazy.
The Fan.
All right, PK80 underway at a Moda Center and Memorial Coliseum. An awesome event, man. Hey, Kim, we need to figure out a way to make Phil Knight turn 80 every year to continue to have this.
Yeah, last night being there, it kind of dawned on me how badass it is that it's the PK80. It's just Phil Knight 80 for his 80th birthday. Like, it never really hit me that it's just a birthday party for Phil Knight. And it's the best college basketball tournament in the nation.
The man changed college basketball.
Forever.
I mean, for better and worse, you can see with the Adidas scandal and I don't want to call it the Adidas scandal, but the scandal around college basketball at the recruiting. But he changed it for the better because he brought such a high profile to college basketball. And he made it so much more important just by Nike. You know, Nike raised the bar in college basketball for all the programs. And you see guys like Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo and Roy Williams who sit there and say they're indebted to him for what he's been able to do. I mean, it's amazing what he's been able to do for the sport. And if this can happen every year and they can make this into an event every season, college basketball could become relevant in November every year. I mean, this could be, there's national people who are like, I didn't realize how awesome an event this is until you see it on TV and you see the matchups that are there. So it's a great event. Go out there. If you don't have tickets, go find them, man. I mean, they're hard to come by now, but you can still get them. They are available. It doesn't matter who you're watching. You're watching a high level of basketball, no matter what. Portland State gave Duke a run for their money yesterday. And so anything can happen in college hoops. We've got, and the games are just going to get nothing but better. We'll be out there. Dirt and Sprague broadcasting live from noon to 3. Isaac and Suit going to be out there from 3 to 7 live in Moda Center. So giddy up, Buttercup. Let's do this. Are you doing the recruiting special tonight too?
Yeah, I will not. Unfortunately, I won't make it any games out there today. Maybe on Sunday.
Are you regretting becoming a full-time employee now?
No, I'm not.
Because of the fact that you're working from 5 a.m. till about what, you'll leave here like at 11, and then you have to come back from 3 until 9?
No, just put me in where I'm needed. Just plug and play.
Labor of love.
Just do what the coaches asked me to do.
I love it. Well, this is your time to shine. We tried to get you fired by starting this segment.
It hasn't worked.
Seeing if you would get yourself fired by saying something stupid.
It hasn't worked.
It is always awkward. It's often offensive. It's exceedingly entertaining. It's your weekend. Would you rather? What do you got for us, buddy?
Well, I may know your answer to this now after our last segment, but I will pose this question because you brought up why don't we eat Thanksgiving food every day? Or not every day. Why don't we eat Thanksgiving food more year-round?
Yes. So, obesity is why we don't eat it every day.
My question is, though, every day for a year, would you rather eat a Thanksgiving meal, a Christmas meal, which for me, Christmas is similar to things. I do, like, I don't know. What do you do for Christmas? My family usually does, like, a prime rib or, like, a beef tenderloin or
prime rib and ham.
Yeah.
Kind of take over. Turkey is still a popular choice for Christmases as well.
But I wanted to present that as an option. Or third option, 4th of July, which is just straight burgers and hot dogs and potato chips and watermelon.
That to me is summer. It's just intensified on 4th of July. So if I'm power ranking these, that's third.
Okay.
Thanksgiving is all the way.
So you're going number one. You're sticking with your guns.
Thanksgiving is number one. But, you know, if you think about it, Christmas, very underrated in that. It is very underrated eating holidays, Christmas.
And I feel like there's a lot more pressure.
A lot more treats. Oh, treats. Just a lot of picking at the little candies. You got the green and red M&Ms all over the place.
Diabetic shock.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so I'm going.
See, I might go 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Burgers and dogs. I guess if
but
I have.
Don't you do that all summer long? Like burgers and dogs, that's just grilling out, man.
Yeah, that's true. But I personally, when I do grill out, I'm a big carne asada guy. I do a lot of tacos.
Look, fireworks really intensify.
They added into this, you also must light up fireworks every day.
Yes. I'm pro fireworks. We need more fireworks holidays. Christmas should be a fireworks holiday. Could you imagine that?
I don't know.
Amp it up a little bit.
With the dried tree and everything. Might be dangerous.
Not inside. Nobody.
Oh, I know. What? I know.
Hold on. We need to address the fact you, in 4th of July, do you ever light fireworks off inside?
Not usually.
But also underrated in 4th of July is strawberry shortcake.
Oh. I don't usually do strawberries.
You're kidding me.
Is that
you need to change
un-American?
I don't know. Maybe it's just something unique to me or maybe just this area. Strawberry shortcake, I associate that with 4th of July, too.
Okay, let's take a break from the Thanksgiving talk. I have another question coming up about that in a minute here. But I think it was yesterday was the, it's 2 days ago, was the anniversary, the 5-year anniversary of the butt fumble.
Yeah.
The famous butt fumble.
That was our Today in Sports History.
So my question for you is, which embarrassing sports moment would you rather have been associated with you? Or I guess, like, for example, you would be Mark Sanchez in this. And if I didn't include, I have just
butt
three
fumble's
here.
Pretty bad.
So butt fumble, would you rather forever? Because Mark Sanchez went to AFC Championship games, yet
we
know him for the butt fumble.
He's butt fumble forever.
Bill Buckner, that's a really bad one.
Yeah.
Because he had a great career, but I, at least as a youngster, always know him as the ground ball, you know, going between his legs.
Absolutely.
Or third one, kind of a celebrity edition, 50 Cent's first pitch. Probably the worst first pitch of all time.
That was bad. Well.
And those are, I don't.
I think I have to go butt fumble. Because in Boston for 18 years, Bill Buckner was the guy who kept the curse going. Red Sox fans held that against him for 18 years until 2004 when they finally got off
like
the hump.
Like wanted to kill him.
Yes. And they won a World Series. So, Buckner's bad to cost you a championship. 50 Cent, you're just known for that's how you throw, and nobody wants that. I mean...
You remember why he said he threw it poorly, right?
No.
I don't think I can say it on air, but... He said he was doing too much of an activity by himself.
Oh, gosh.
He said that that caused him to have a shoulder injury.
Whoa.
I'm sad. I swear that was his reason.
So I'm going to go butt fumble is the best of the options there because butt fumble's like, yeah,
it's harmless.
Whatever. It's Thanksgiving. The whole world was watching. I ran into a butt, fumbled a ball.
Because if you think about like, if I could have included like Steve Bartman, like he had to go into hiding, witness protection program status.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want that.
No.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm going butt fumble.
Ray Lewis is being sued by a horse.
Excuse me?
So Ray Lewis has a bourbon company called Ray's Reserve, or a bourbon line.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, they sponsored a horse, a racehorse, California Chrome, which won the 2014 Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Apparently, they never upheld their end of the bargain. So the horse and its ownership group suing Ray Lewis.
Wait a minute. What did he not hold up? Was he supposed to get the horse drunk? What was he supposed to do here?
I guess that the horse and its handler were supposed to get money and bourbon from Ray's Reserve.
Okay.
And that he never delivered.
Oh.
So, you know, just a classic.
Classic.
But that got me thinking.
Did not live up to the contract.
A lot of people, not a lot, very, very wealthy people invest in horses or own horses for racing.
Yeah, it's a rich man's game.
Yes, definitely. My question is, what would you rather invest in or own? A horse, or like be a horse, you know, like go to the races, like that's my horse.
Yeah.
Greyhound racing?
No.
Or college athletes as like a bag man, like a writing the secret checks.
Wow.
For your respective university.
There's something alluring to being the bag man.
I personally, if I could, I would, and I'm sure that the upstanding people at Oregon State University would not accept my money, but I would try to become a illegal booster for Oregon State.
No, the bag man. But here's the thing about being a bag man, too, is that you have to be the booster that flies under the radar. Like, nobody can know who you are as a booster. Like, you can't do it legitimately.
Phil Knight can't.
No.
Pay Bol Bol to go to Oregon.
No, you have to be a guy that nobody's ever heard of. You can't make any prominent donations or you become on the radar then. You have to be flying under the radar the entire time. And that's the thing about the SEC is that they groom these guys to be bagmen. It's like, no, we don't want your $50 million check for the new facility. No. We want the $100 handshake guy, you know?
Yeah.
And no athletic director's ever saying that, but they groom, like other boosters groom the bag man. So you fly under the radar and you just end up paying the recruits. There's something to that. But I want to be a racehorse owner. With all of that said, I want to be a racehorse owner because that's kick ass. Is owning a racehorse is awesome.
I mean, yeah, you get to go to the take your wife to the racetrack and
yeah, if you have a triple crown horse, are you kidding me?
Be all badass.
You're going Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont. You're going to Santa Anita.
Portland Meadows.
Yes. Going out to Portland Meadows, too.
So we're clearly not going to do the Greyhound racing.
No, that seems just very, very sleazy. The Greyhound business does not seem on the up and up.
No, lately there's been a lot of the cocaine dog reports.
Yeah, cocaine dog seems to be a very popular one. And that kind of goes in line with my thinking of Greyhound racing.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
I agree. I personally would like to be a bag man for Oregon State if they'd have me.
My great-grandpa, Grandpa Don, he was a big dog track guy. He was at the dog track a lot. I remember going to the dog track, and I have far fonder memories of being at Portland Meadows than I do the Greyhound Park out in Gresham.
Yeah, I'm bummed I never got, because it closed.
Yes, it did.
I never got to go.
Well, I used to go there as a child, and I'm telling you, you didn't miss much.
Seems like a place where you smoke cigarillos or whatever, you know, Black and Milds and Swisher Sweets.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of smoke there, I remember as a kid, just everywhere.
I'm into the scene, but I'm not going to invest my money in that.
Yeah.
Okay, last one.
You're into the scene? Are you really?
No, I've never gone. I would like to go to a Greyhound race and kind of take it in.
It's an experience.
I mean, even going to Portland Meadows on a Tuesday is a scene.
Yes, it is.
Especially the guys that aren't watching the outdoor races, just the off-track betting.
Oh, yeah.
The closed-circuit TVs.
Off-track bars are a scene, man.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to a bar that's got the off-track betting, dude, you're in for it.
I love that.
You'll meet an old guy who knows the ins and outs of every single... You're like, how do you know this?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, last one. A very simple question. Pumpkin or pecan?
Pumpkin. Not even close. Pumpkin. I'm a pumpkin pie guy.
Because I had this talk yesterday with people, and it's pretty divisive. I found a lot of people as you brought up, people are anti-pumpkin because they're pro-pecan.
Yeah.
I'm very pro-both, but if I have to pick one, I am going to go pumpkin on this occasion.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, a good crust really makes the pumpkin pie, too. I think that goes...
Oh, absolutely.
When you get soggy crust...
Absolutely.
When you get soggy crust, you're done for.
No. Yeah. You. Ugh.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for playing.
You kept it on the rails on that one.
I know. That was pretty... Well, I was going to include like... Nah, never mind. Never mind. All right. Actually.
Let's get to Alex Brink. He's going to join us. Apple Cup preview. Alex Brink of the Cougs Radio Network will join us next. Dusty and Kim on the Fan.
This is Civil War Week on Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Aylin A.
on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Apple Cup coming up tomorrow evening. One game in a long list. of great games in college football tomorrow. As you got the Apple Cup with Washington State heading to Washington, looking to end a four-game slide to the Huskies. Last time the Cougs won that game was Mike Leach's first year on the Palouse. That's the last time Cougs won. We thought that then we'd have this back-and-forth rivalry, but Washington with Chris Peterson has obviously taken that program to the next step. But this year, it has the Cougs in line to win a Pac-12 North championship and head on down to Santa Clara for the Pac-12 championship game, where they'll take on USC in a rematch of what was a great game if the Cougs can win. We're out to Alex Brink right now, who is big time in us. He may be in the Thanksgiving coma. He's going to be a busy guy. So I doubt we'll get him in this one.
What? You think he's just comatose?
Yeah, the tryptophan?
Oh, no, I know.
It'll do you in.
You and I got up this morning. It's hard.
It is.
Really hard.
It is. Especially I got home and I was by myself because the family's still down in Eugene at my wife's parents' house. And so I had a bourbon last night before bed. Oh, boy. I was a little afraid I wasn't going to wake up.
Oh, yeah, I did.
It was a big one.
Yeah. I had a couple beers. Oh, it's great that you can get beer at the PK80, by the way.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't sure because it's a college event. You know, sometimes they don't.
How's the price?
It's the normal price. So a little high, but not as bad as arenas elsewhere.
They're not jacking up the prices on you?
No, no.
Good. That's good to hear. Because this is a type of event where they probably would jack up the prices. So it's good to hear that it's normal. And Moda Center is fairly reasonable price beer.
Yeah.
Compared to other arenas.
I paid $21 for a beer at Dodger Stadium.
You are kidding me.
Because I asked, because I wanted them to make it Michelada style.
Okay. That you deserve that for going fancy boy.
No, it's simple. It shouldn't be. Anyway.
Don't go fancy lad beer.
I was like, I'll take two Michelada style Modelos. $42, sir. I was like, excuse me?
Wow. Do you have a loan office?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm having one beer today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the Apple Cup will be right here on the Fan tomorrow, Washington State in Washington. And this is this game stakes high in a rivalry game. I mean, this is what, for Coug and Husky fans, this is exactly what the Civil War was for Duck and Beaver fans for, you know, that decade run in the early 2000s, you know, where something is on the line in every single one of these Apple Cups the last handful of years. And for the Cougs, I mean, this could be your mark of, hey, we're here. We're going to be the Pac-12 North representative. We're not going to fold up the tent and go quietly. And for Mike Leach, this is a huge game, not just winning the rivalry, not just going to the Pac-12 North, but it is that we aren't going to be the ones that disappear late in the season, a la Oklahoma State, right? Oklahoma State, who puts up funny numbers offensively. They're always ranked pretty highly, but they just end up squandering it and disappearing late in the season. There's a chance for Washington State to put their flag in the ground and say 10-2, but the first 10-win season since 2003, when they won three 10-win years seasons in a row. That's on the line here. You can jockey for a great bowl game where if you go and you win this game and then you beat USC again, which you've already done, it's going to be a tall task because of the fact that they're going to be ready for you. USC's got a bye this week. They're going to be well-rested. But if you get out of that one, you could be talking New Year's Six Bowl for the Washington State Cougars. Wrap your head around that, Coug fans, coming out of the dark Paul Wolf years.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man, especially because you know the Cougs would travel well for a New Year's Six. Well, they would travel for any bowl, but...
No, no doubt about it.
But that would be great.
But for Husky fans, then you have another chance for a 10-win season. You won't be playing for the Pac-12 championship because of the fact that of where your two conference losses resided and the fact that you lost to Stanford in the head-to-head. So Stanford would be the rep there. But you can spoil the party for your rival. That's awesome. Doesn't get much bigger. You can hear that game right here on The Fan, 5 o'clock tomorrow. Over on ESPN Portland 910, our sister station, the Iron Bowl, too. I mean, the Iron Bowl is what every rivalry dreams it could be. Where you have got number one versus number six. It's not just the SEC West on the line. It is college football playoff implications, national championship aspirations for both these programs. Auburn has an opportunity if they win that game and then go and beat Georgia in the SEC championship game to be the first two-loss team to make the college football playoff. They will make the college football playoffs if they do it. Alabama is the number one ranked team in the country. Everybody's been saying you haven't played anybody yet. Well, guess what? Auburn is a somebody, and they are damn good. And so that game, that game's got me all sorts of fired up. And that game is at 12:30. 12:30 on ESPN Portland 910. I can't wait for that game. I'm going Bart Scott. Can't wait.
It's can't a good wait. Day of football.
Yeah.
That's a, I mean, well, I mean, okay.
You have Civil War at 4.
So, like, yeah, obviously national.
Local ties.
Local ties.
Apple Cup nationally should be a big game and is a big game.
And then you've got?
You've got the Iron Bowl, which is, stakes don't get much higher. You got the game between Ohio State and Michigan, which has lost a little bit of its luster because of the fact that Michigan isn't ranked. But you have two very good teams. I mean, Michigan's still 8-3 on the year. Ohio State has gotten up off the mat pretty impressively after that loss to Iowa, where they just got thumped against Iowa. But that could be that game that, if you're looking at Jim Harbaugh, man, he's made it tight, but he hasn't won. He hasn't beat Urban Meyer yet.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game. And mostly just that slate starting around 4 o'clock with the Civil War. Then Clemson, South Carolina, 4:30. Notre Dame, Stanford at 5. Apple Cup at 5. Like, because I'm going to go find a sports bar, post up, and watch the Civil War. Lots of TVs. And I'm stoked, man. Buckle up.
Also, small college shout-outs here.
Oh, how's SOU doing?
They are 11-0.
Okay. You should. They don't even need a bag, man.
They are playing some lady named Lindsay Wilson.
Is that a school?
That is a school. Who is also 11-0. There are, I think, of the 8 teams left, there's combined 3 losses remaining in the playoffs at the NAIA level. So they go to Lindsay Wilson for undefeated quarterfinal matchup. And then you have Linfield College heads down to Mary Hardin-Baylor. And SOU has not given up 30 points all year long. And they have, I think they haven't given up an opening drive touchdown all season. But Lindsay Wilson had like 1,000 yards total offense last week. So that's going to be a great game at 11 a.m. And then Linfield, they haven't given up 20 points since week one when they played Mary Hardin, or week two when they played Mary Hardin-Baylor. They get Mary Hardin-Baylor again in the Division III playoffs. So we got two local teams still playing in the small college playoffs as well. So go Linfield on the road in Texas. They're in Belton, Texas, and they're winning on defense after winning on offense all season long. And then you got Southern Oregon in the NAIA playoffs. So go small college football in our area. Take that, Fedata. Great weekend of college football. I'm going to be locked and loaded from 11 a.m. all day long. I'm going to watch SOU, watch Iron Bowl, Apple Cup.
Go Civil Raiders. War.
Get it all done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go Raiders. You kidding me?
Would you, do you think they'd ever need a, because back to our last conversation, last segment.
A bag man?
Yeah, do you think they'd ever need one, or is that just irrelevant at that level?
In Pretty Ashland, irrelevant, man.
In Ashland.
Pretty irrelevant. Yeah. Like, who are you gonna pay off? Who are you going to pay off?
Could end up being kind of obvious. Yes. Is 5 stars going to Southern Oregon?
It's a 4-star recruit going to play NAIA football.
4-star out of Texas.
The only time we get those guys is when they get kicked off of big teams. Which, side note, O'Shea Dunmore, former 4-star recruit for the University of Oregon, he plays at Southern Oregon.
There you go.
And no, he was not paid to go there. Circumstances, but he's doing a great job there right now as well. All right, we're out to Alex Brink. We're going to try and give him a call in the next break as well. But coming up next, let's talk about the Civil War, what the Ducks and Beavs need to do to pick up a win in the Civil War. Here's Crawford of SportsCenter.
This is Civil War Week on Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Aylin A.
on 1080 The Fan.
We forgot in our small college shout-outs to throw out one to Central Washington as well. The number one seed in Division II playoffs. I know they're way up in Bellingham. But Kevin Haynes, kid out of Battleground, was named the GNAC Defensive Player of the Year. And then Camus, former Camus quarterback Riley Hennessy, is transferred from Eastern Washington. He was the newcomer of the year. So it's led by two local kids right here in our own backyard from Camus and Battleground. So they're in the D2 playoffs. So you got NAI, D3, D2, all bases covered this weekend for small college football. They host the Texas A&M Commerce or somebody in the Division II playoffs.
Go Central Washington.
Yeah, they're one of the top seeds, 11-0 on the season. They got a great coaching staff up there. All right, here we go. Civil War talk, though. Ducks, Beavs, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, giddy up, Buttercup. This is one game that you sit there and you look at and you go, man, on paper, Oregon State's back's against the wall. But haven't we seen this story before where nobody's given Oregon State a chance and they go in, they give Oregon a game? Haven't we seen Oregon, nothing to play for? They go in, like the 08 game where it was Rose Bowl for Oregon State if they win, and they hang a 65 spot on them. Expect the unexpected when rivalries happen, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, even 2 years ago at Autzen, Oregon State was getting thumped in the first half and then almost came all the way back to tie the game up in the second half behind a huge day from Ryan Nall. And I was at that game, and I remember going into that game, I had about as little hope as I have this season as a Beaver fan. So I was like, so anything can happen. I totally agree with you, man.
The one thing, though, that is the toughest part, and we discussed this a little bit earlier in the show, is that for Oregon State to win this game, they have got to be able to throw the football. And they have shown an inability to do that with consistency all season long. And you have to be able to have balance because Oregon is so good against the run this year. Third in the Pac-12, only behind two of the best teams in the country against the run in Washington and Washington State. It's a different Oregon team. Ryan Nall ran wild against the Ducks in the last two Civil War games, but that was due to the fact Oregon had a horrible rush defense. That is not the case. Jim Leavitt has turned that around. They ranked third in the Pac-12 in rush, 29th, I think, in the country against the run, and that is they will be able to load the box and play on the outside, play man on the outside, or commit what, four in coverage. You know, it's 7-on-4, and you've got to win with your five against those seven if you can't keep them honest with the pass. And so that's going to be the biggest part for Oregon State is you cannot dig yourself a hole early. You can't go down 30 at the half like you did Arizona State, because Arizona State took their foot off the gas. Oregon will not. Oregon won't do that. It's a rivalry game. They're going to want to finish you. And give the Beavs credit. And they have scratched, fought, and clawed to stay in games and get back into games the last couple of weeks. But you can't afford to do that in a rivalry game. Because if you get that big of a hole, I know they came back from one last year, 2-score deficit, but you can't afford to go down by 30 in the Civil War and give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I feel like this conversation about the Civil War is what can Oregon State do to have any chance in the game, because we know Oregon has, we know what Oregon has to do to win, and that's do what they did last week against Arizona, or just have, you know, just their defense is so much better this year. Justin Herbert, when he plays for that Ducks team, is, you know, that offense is so much better. Like, this is the Ducks game to Oregon State. This is a Ducks game to lose. Like, Oregon State can't just come in and take this game from the Ducks. Like, the Ducks have to screw things up a little bit.
And you're on the road.
And you're on the road. The Bees haven't won a Pac-12 game since 2014. So, I mean, the odds are...
On the road, they haven't.
Sorry. On the road. My bad. They haven't won a Pac-12 game this year. Since the Civil War.
Last year.
Since last year's Civil War.
At home. But, and that's the thing is, when we're talking about having that semblance of balance, just look what it did for Oregon last week. I mean, it was kind of beating your head against a wall when they didn't have the threat of the deep ball or really an intermediate passing game either when Justin Herbert was out. They ran the ball, 70% of the time when Justin Herbert was out. All of a sudden, the Ducks get Justin Herbert back and they have their best running performance of the year. That's what balance does. When you occupy eyes in the secondary, you open up your running game exponentially, and Oregon State cannot afford to have the Ducks just sitting there going, all right, stop Ryan Nall, stop Thomas Tomlin, stop Art Pierce and Travoris Johnson. Can't do it.
Yeah, Daryl Gerritsen has, what, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the air?
Yes.
And I think most of those touchdowns came in the last two games in the second half.
This one does have the makings of it getting out of hand, though. When you look at it.
No, I know, man.
And you look at it objectively. I mean, that's what you have to do is that.
If it wasn't a rivalry game, we wouldn't even be having these conversations.
No.
You know, like we wouldn't even like think about the Ducks early in the season when they beat. I know Southern Utah is a bad team, but 77-21, you know, putting up 77 points, 49 on Wyoming. Like this offense, when they're humming, has been reminiscent of those old Ducks offenses of, you know, the last decade.
Yep.
And Oregon State is banged up, to say the least, in the secondary.
And even when they weren't banged up, though.
Oh, when they weren't banged
up. It was not a deep team.
No. So, yeah, I agree with you. This thing could get out of hand. It could.
But you always have those years where you expect the unexpected rivalry games. That's what sucks about talking about this rivalry is you say we wouldn't be talking about this. We've largely not talked about Oregon State all year long for that reason. I mean, what is, you know, and it's been, what is the point of beating up on the fact that they're injured? And
well, there's only so much you can
so
say.
So much has gone wrong.
Like, there's only so much you can say. I was having this conversation with Sprague the other day because we were talking about there's some Beavers fans on Twitter that are really mad that NBC Sports Northwest doesn't have a Beavs-specific reporter a la like Aaron Fentress and Bree Amaranthus for the Ducks.
The last one was Brandon Sprague, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But Sprague and I were talking, and he was like, and we were just like, what would we want to see if that was the case? I wouldn't read those articles or like watch those videos because there's nothing to talk about. Like, we know what's wrong with OSU, and you can't beat a dead horse for the whole season.
Yeah, I kind of see where those fans are coming from in regards to even when it was good, there still wasn't much coverage of Oregon State.
Yeah, the brand of OSU is much smaller than Oregon's.
And yes, and the tough part is that Oregon State football has fallen on its hardest times at the time when they are trying to make a push to become more relevant and be out there more in the ideation team and be a more prominent fixture. But we all know that football is your front porch to the entire athletic department and your university. And when you are not relevant in that sport, you're not relevant for the masses. And hardcore Beaver fans, they're going to go and they're going to get their content from Angie's site. You know, they're going to go to Beaver Blitz and Building the Dam and wherever else you want to go. But in order for a major outlet in our region to cover it, you've got to be relevant.
Yeah, well, like you just said, we haven't talked that much Beavs this year. We talked a lot about them when the Gary Anderson thing happened, but other than that, it's like,
We talked about them at a lot at the beginning of the year because there were bowl aspirations, there was every sign pointing to that should be the conversation and that should be something that Beaver fans should expect.
There was a lot of hope. I mean, there's a video on Twitter of me saying, here's how the Beavs could win 9 games. I didn't actually think they would, but there was, the fact that I even thought that was possible should show you.
Shouldn't that be prefaced by, there's a regrettable video?
You know, it's crazy. You put one thing on the internet one time and people don't let it go. And it's worked for some people, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, imagine that. The internet.
But I got
unforgiving place.
I got retweeted by Old Takes Exposed.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, for that video.
That's a good one. Hey, congratulations,
Dirt
man.
Dirt tagged them in the video on Wednesday. Said, since it's the Civil War, let's bring this up. And then Old Takes Exposed retweeted it.
Well, good for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
It is a cold take.
I'm proud of you for that, though, because you've made it.
Yeah. Rough. Hey,
you're 9 win per. You're only 8 off.
All right, maybe 7.
You nailed that Portland State win though. Nailed
which
it.
Almost wasn't a win.
No, it wasn't.
No,
but that is actually the biggest saving. One of the biggest saving graces that Oregon State has is that they did win that game because if Portland State continues to lose every single game after that, and that's their win. What are we saying about Oregon State?
I know. I know. And I'm not trying to be defeatist Beaver fan here. I'm pumped for the game tomorrow. I think I'm going to bet on the Beavers to cover the spread.
What is it up to now?
Do we know? It was fluctuating between 25 and 30. So I don't know. Let's see.
My God. Well, that's such a big line for a rivalry game.
I know. It's 24.5 now. I'll bet on the Beavs to cover that. I'm a Beaver believer.
It's gone down. That means it's gone down in a lot of places. And are you getting that from
I'm getting ESPN that from Line? ESPN's thing, which I know doesn't update as quickly as like Odd Shark or Bovada. Or-
All right. We have got a on Vegas Insider, the consensus on the Oregon on the Civil War is 25.
Okay. I'll take the Beavs, man. I agree with you, though, wholeheartedly, Dusty, that this is a game the Ducks could win by 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just because of that. It's a rivalry game, and I'll give Coach Corey Hall some credit of keeping his players motivated in all these games where they shouldn't be motivated or oftentimes wouldn't. Not that they shouldn't, but you know what I mean? Guys, college kids aren't going to get up for the game. So I'm excited for this. I always get excited for the Civil War.
As every fan should.
It's a great feature of our state.
It just sucks that this is the conversation that we're having and that is being said, is that this could get out of hand and Ducks could win by 40.
I know.
All right, we get you set for the day on the fan. We've got a big day. They didn't want to put us there at 6 a.m. because nobody would be there. But coming up, we have a massive day on the fan at one of the biggest sporting events in the area that we've ever had, Dusty and Cam.
This is Civil War Week on Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by Alan A.
on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, let's get it. Working for the weekend, baby.
It's already the weekend, I bet, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's cool. Not us, man. All right, we had a good text here on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. When was the last time the Civil War had a new coaches on both sidelines? Very good question.
Do you know the answer?
I do. 1924. Joseph Maddock was the coach at Oregon in his first year. Paul Schisler, the coach at Oregon State.
That's good trivia.
The Ducks won 7-3. The only previous time that I could find, because the Football Reference only lists Oregon's coaches until starting at 1916, was 1920, a scoreless tie between, R.B. Rutherford for Oregon State.
That is such a 1920 football coach name.
Oh, wait, nope, never mind. Didn't happen then either, because Shy Huntington was in his third year. So never mind, 1924. 1924 is the only time that I, according to Football Reference, that both teams had new head coaches on the sidelines for the Civil War. That's that cool. is great trivia.
That's really good trivia. Also, first time we've had two black head coaches.
In the Civil War, yes.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I'm actually happy about is that that has not been like the overwhelming storyline, because you know what? That shouldn't be the storyline. Like the thing that always frustrated me, like Doug Williams, black quarterback in the Super Bowl, you know, when Russell Wilson was asked that question, it's like, he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
These are head coaches. Like that should be
as a society
the expectation.
Yeah, we should expect to have moved beyond that.
No doubt about it. But it is a cool note about this game is that it's the first time in Civil War history that we have two black head coaches on the sidelines for Oregon and Oregon State. But yeah, first time since 1924. Well, only the second time ever, according to Football Reference. I'm sure some of those like 1800s games. There was one game where Oregon State didn't even have a head coach in like 1898.
They just kind of. It's like an IM team.
Roll them out.
Yeah.
Let's go. They got beat, by the way.
Yeah.
In that Civil War game. But Civil War is coming up tomorrow. 4 o'clock kick. Check it out. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down. Today, we got shows from noon till 7 out at PK 80.
A lot of things going on today. A lot of things happening.
A lot of balls in the air. So PK 80 out at Moda Center. Isaac and Souk from 3 to 7, Dirt and Sprague from noon to 3, broadcasting live from the concourse there, so go check it out. I think they're going to be out in front of section like 211, that one. A11, I think, is the entrance there. So go check them out.
That sounds fun.
They'll be out at Moda. I'm heading over to Moda right now to check out the PK80. And then We've got a loaded football weekend. The Iron Bowl will be over on ESPN Portland 9:10 tomorrow at 12:30. We got the Apple Cup right here on the Fan. Cougs, Huskies. That game kicks off at 5 o'clock. So we are locked and loaded. High school semifinals going on out at Hillsborough Stadium today. The 4A, 5A state championships are tomorrow out at Hillsborough Stadium. Noon and 5 are today's kickoffs for the 6A semifinals, where you got Clackamas and Tigard. And then you've got a 5 o'clock kick between Lake Oswego and South Medford. Awesome. And then small college football. Linfield, Mary Harden Baylor from Belton, Texas. Southern Oregon, 11-0 against 11-0 Lindsey Wilson in the NAI quarterfinals. And then Division II, Central Washington is hosting Texas A&M University Commerce. So a lot of football action this weekend. We'll be back Monday to break it all down. Not the small college stuff, but the big boys, we will. Have a great weekend. Thank you for being with us on this Friday. I hope everybody's Black Friday shopping is civil. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk, and then a 2-hour recruiting special with Andrew Nemec, 7 to 9. This has been Dusty and Cam on 1080, The Fan.
Go Raiders, how about that? Thank you all. Have a great smoky day if you want to.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.